Heart to Heart is brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. Today on Heart to Heart, we're going the animal route. And I'm going to be welcoming guests Debbie Jones and Sheila Buchanan, co-founders of Beyond the Bag Pet Nutrition and Wellness. And Sheila and Debbie started their company last year after both spending many years in different animal-related businesses. They were seeing that many younger pets were being diagnosed with what used to be known as age-related diseases like arthritis, hip dysplasia, and earlier in their young lives. They felt that there was a lot more to these issues that could be resolved with pet nutrition and other options. So Sheila and Debbie's company offer many options to keep your pets healthy and strong, including nutrition advice, people and pet Reiki, pet massage, and transition support. So I am just so excited to have these two fabulous women on Heart to Heart this morning. We will be debunking pet food myths, discussing pet massage training, and so much more. I wish I just had more than an hour to spend with them. So welcome, Debbie and Sheila.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you for having us today. Good morning.
Good morning. So this is so exciting for me as the mother of five dogs. So I'm always getting new information. And I know for us, nutrition has been major in what we do. So you guys, I mean, come from a combined 15 years of experience in various holistic pet health fields. And there's a lot of credentials behind what you do as well. So tell us something about your training and your expertise.
Well, this is Sheila. And when Debbie and I met, we were both working in the pet industry, but we each had our own individual businesses. And Debbie was working more with pain management through canine massage. And I was working more in the area of dog training. And pet Reiki as well. And Debbie was also a Reiki practitioner. So once we got together and found out how much we had in common, we thought it would be great to join forces and see if we could reach more people and pets together than we could do on our own. And once we made that decision to join forces, that's when we got training in nutrition and became a clinical pet nutritionist. And got training in all aspects of nutrition. And we learned very quickly that a lot of times when people think of nutrition, they're thinking of homemade diets or perhaps raw pet food. But we're even talking about just going to the store and learning how to read those labels on the back of a pet food bag.
Yeah, that's critical.
It can really be confusing. Whether you're going to the grocery or you're going to the big stores or a small pet boutique, you know, it can be very confusing to compare one bag to another or to even pick up a bag and determine what's in that food. And considering that most people feed their pets the same food every day for their entire lives, it's really important to know what's in that bag of food.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we'll talk about that too, but I also want to talk about that concept, you know, that's been disseminated by veterinarians over the years that they want to eat the same thing every day. And so I want to talk a little bit about that too, because we certainly don't do that at my house.
Good.
So, and you know, and those are just the kinds of little things that people can do without making big, huge changes in what they do that can have a benefit for their animals.
Absolutely. And that's what we talk to people about in our classes, but also just in conversation with people to give them little nuggets of information. Like, you know, we found in our studies and learning about the history of pet food, which we really delve deeply into in our education, we found that the idea of feeding one brand of food to your pet for the lifetime of the pet was an idea that started by the pet food companies years ago as a marketing effort.
Of course. So, I mean, like, yes. How much better could that be to convince people that once you start feeding something, you should feed that animal that same food their entire life?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
I always tell people, how would you like to eat the same thing every day for your entire life?
Yeah, and it seems like such a simple concept. And, you know, Debbie and I, what's great about this is that we were in that place. We both bought that one brand of dog food, and we fed it to our pets for for many years, you know, before we got educated about all this. So we're not putting anybody in the category. We're saying that we were there.
Yeah.
And
we all were there.
Yeah. Once you know better, you do better, and you can make better choices when you have the information.
And, you know, and of course we were all there because a lot of what we learned came from credible sources like veterinarians, but a lot of what they know about nutrition just comes from pet food companies.
Exactly. Right.
So it's interesting how that all weaves together, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So, and some of the things, and I love some of these myths. So let's talk about some of these. Besides feeding them one food their entire life, there's always that thing where they say, well, don't give them people food.
Yeah, don't give them people food. So our take on that is food is food, and food is nutritious for all living things. So certainly when we talk about people food for pets or food for pets, you don't want to feed them anything that we really shouldn't be eating ourselves.
Exactly.
So definitely you don't want to give them something that is heavy with butter or heavy with gravies. We're talking about fresh, wholesome foods, fresh vegetables, fresh fruits, fresh meats. All of these things are very nutritious for our pets. Of course, there is a list of about 20 to 30 items that are very toxic to pets. And you can easily find that on our website, or if you just do a Google search on what never to feed your pet, chocolate, coffee, grapes, raisins, those types of items are going to be on those lists. But outside of that, when you look at apples, bananas, broccoli, cauliflower, all of those things are so nutritious for our pets, and you can quickly blend them up in a blender and just add them on top of the food that they're eating today. Will give them such a nutritional boost in their daily diet. The benefits are really incredible for them.
And
it is for us.
Yeah, for us too. That's what I always say. Well, if it's healthy for us, it's probably healthy for them, with those exceptions of ones that are toxic for animals. And if it's unhealthy for us, well, chances are it's unhealthy for them as well.
Yeah, I don't like people feeding their pets potato chips or anything like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I love a potato chip every once in a while, but...
Or hot sauce. Let's go easy on the hot sauce.
Right.
Well, I just have a question for you, too, because this is a food that I've seen on a list sometimes, and then other times I've seen that it's good for dogs, but avocado. And I have to tell you, my one dog just loves avocado. And then one day I saw, never give your dog avocado on somebody's site, and... Has that ever crossed your path?
Yeah, avocado definitely is on the no list. And it's interesting because there are a lot of foods that you may find either on the list or off the list. Garlic is another one. Garlic you may find on the toxic list, but it's really in what form you're giving it to your pet. I can't speak specifically to avocado, but when we're looking at something like garlic, garlic in its whole form, if your dog were to jump up on the table or an entire clove of garlic falls on the floor and they gobble it up, that would be considered toxic to them. However, garlic in its powdered form or cooked form in very small quantities is perfectly okay for your pet. So I think for the avocado, I would want to do a little bit more digging to see what form would
okay.
be healthy or unsafe for the pet.
Okay. All right, I see. And that makes sense to me because we actually use powdered garlic as a flea and tick preventive.
Perfect.
At our house.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we get this from this great company called Springtime, and they have wonderful products. But, I mean, it has really been significant for us because we live in the woods in a very high tick and Lyme disease area. So we've had lots of success with that.
Yeah, and I use a similar product, but it's actually taken internally, and it contains garlic as well. And it's a flea and tick powder, if you will, but they eat it internally on their meals, and it just makes their blood taste really bitter so that the bugs don't have any interest in them.
Oh, I love that. And that, yeah, because ours, it too, is like it's part of this little tablets, you know, that you just put in their food, and they love them. You know, they actually love the tablets better than the raw powder, because that's pretty strong garlic. I think the tablets are mixed with like some liver stuff that makes it a little more palatable.
Yes.
So then. You know, the fresh fruits and vegetables, too. I love that. So I know I used to be making some smoothies in the morning, and I'm telling you, they lined up, and it's because it had the avocado in it.
A lot of the smoothies that people make for themselves in the morning, if they're made with fresh fruits and vegetables, and they might have some, you know, some milk in there, some soy, it's perfectly acceptable to give them to your pets and have it just as a little topper for them on top of their meals that they're getting, or let them lick the spoon, or let them lick the glass that you're drinking out of. It's just so wonderful for them. You know, again, it gives them this wonderful nutritional boost that they wouldn't normally get just eating food or packaged food or manufactured
right.
food out of a bag.
And I like the idea of putting it in the blender, and you mentioned that too, because, you know, for animals, if they were eating, you know, these things in the raw, typically it would come from whatever the prey animal that they had caught had still in their stomach. So it would already be partially digested, right? So
you're,
I think...
You're right.
Yeah. So when we put it in the blender, we're sort of partially digesting it, right?
That is really a great point, Jackie, is that most pets do need to have that process started for them for the raw fruits and vegetables. So it's a really great option to just throw it in the blender, just puree it just a little bit, and then put it on their food. Another great benefit of that is if your pet maybe is not too thrilled about having peas in their natural form, just sitting in their bowl, they might have a tendency to pick them out and spit them out on the floor. But if they've already been pureed with, let's say, an apple that has a little bit of sweetness to it, they'll gobble it right up, and they don't have the option to pick it out and spit it out on
yeah.
the floor.
Yeah, you know, it's like they have that little bit of a sweet tooth just like we do, I guess, huh?
That's very true.
So that's a good thing to remember when you're trying to get them to eat something that they don't, not particularly that fond of, you know, put a little bit of something in there that's sweet as well, and that really kicks it off. So, oh, good, that's wonderful, you know, because I've gone down so many food route, and I always tell people it's always evolving. Of course, that's the way, you know, life is, and my life in particular. I'm always learning new things, and it's always changing what I do. And, you know, I always say it's always getting better. But one thing that I have changed is when I first started making dog food for my gang, you know, I would be cooking grains. Now, I have since stopped feeding them grains, but what is your take on that, the two of you?
From our studies, we have found that professional studies have shown, research studies have shown, that grains are inflammatory for pets. And absolutely, cats do not contain the salivary enzymes to break down grains. So you absolutely, if you have a cat, you want to make sure that you're feeding them a grain-free diet. But with dogs as well, they can tolerate a small amount of grains in their diet, but they really don't need them. So it is best, and I have noticed as well with my own pets through the years, as well as pets that I have worked with, that the grains typically tend to add weight to the pets, and it makes it difficult to keep them at a healthy weight unless they're very, very active. So I personally feed a grain-free diet to all of my pets, and whenever we recommend foods, we always go in the direction of the grain-free foods and the grain-free diet.
Yeah, I do too, I think. And, you know, when you said it's inflammatory, well, it's inflammatory for us humans as well.
Absolutely.
You know, and more of that is coming out for people. I think that, you know, particularly with all this gluten-free stuff, the whole idea of what grains do for us. And of course, grains are so different than what they were, you know, even, you know, 50, 100 years ago. So through hybridization and, you know, genetic modification, I mean, we're not eating the same wheat, you know, our grandparents ate.
Absolutely. That's right. And And you made a good point that, you know, it's inflammatory for us as well. And there's been a lot of aha moments for me in regards to my pet's diet as I've learned more about my own diet. And there was a point when I had to take gluten out of my family's diet and I had to get rid of the grains, and I noticed an increase in my own energy and that sort of thing. And at that time, my pets were eating foods that contained grains, and so I took the grains out of their diet. They automatically lost weight without any effort. They did seem to be less lethargic and have more energy. So although our anatomy is not the same as our pets, there are some similarities that we can look at, just like simple things like when we say, well, fresh food is good for us just as well as fresh food is good for our pets. Same thing goes for grains.
Right. And for people that are using more processed foods, do you have an opinion of dry versus canned foods?
Well, yes. And typically the canned foods are going to be a better option for most pets, especially for cats. If you have cats, cats are not biologically made to drink water. They are designed to get water from the prey animals that they eat. So it's really important that the food that they eat, it contains moisture. And it is not to the same degree for dogs, but it's a similar concept for dogs as well, that they need some amount of moisture in their diet so that they're not always drinking water separately, because they may not have that thirst to the degree that they're going to drink the amount of water that their body needs. So what we recommend a lot in our classes is for people to, if they are feeding just dry food, which we don't recommend, but if they are just feeding dry food, to add water to it, or even chicken broth or vegetable broth that has no salt, just to boost, it can boost the nutritional value of the food as well as to really make it a little easier on the kidney.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, thank you, because, you know, that's, you know, what I have been hearing as well. And in fact, I've switched, and I have big puppies. And right now they're not having any dry food. And most of the time, my guys, they get a mixture of raw and canned. But so they've gotten that out of their system not that long ago, too. So anyway, it's 9:30 already. I told you how time flies. And we're going to take a quick break for sponsor messages, and then we'll be right back.
We're back to Heart with Jackie LeBeau, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Okay, everybody, we're back, and our guests this morning are Debbie Jones and Sheila Buchanan, co-founders of Beyond the Bag Pet Nutrition and Wellness. And we've been talking about nutrition and lots of good things on nutrition, but let's take a shift here, because there's so much information that we can get from Debbie and Sheila. And I know one of the other things that you guys work with is massage.
Yeah, pet massage is a wonderful, wonderful therapy, if you will, to help pets not only who are maybe recovering from surgery, but if they have an illness or if they've been injured. It works very similar to if you're injured yourself. Let's say you hurt your ankle and you're walking a little bit differently, and let's say if your left ankle has been injured, your right leg is going to be taking on more of the stress and more of the weight as you're walking around, and then all of a sudden your right leg starts hurting.
Yeah, that overcompensation stuff.
It overcompensates. So it's very similar for our pets. I know for my particular dog, she had both of her ACLs repaired, and she put a lot of extra weight on her front legs and her shoulders, and I noticed that she was starting to limp a lot on her front because of that overcompensation. So massage is a wonderful way to help them keep those muscles moving appropriately, keep those muscles flexible. And then also, as they start to have pain, a lot of that is toxins are building up in their muscles. So what we're trying to do with the massage is get those toxins moving throughout the body, get them out of the muscle tissue into the circulatory system, and then have them be eliminated through the natural waste process that the animal goes through. But I have seen just wonderful results for animals as they're recuperating, again, not only from physical situations, whether it's illness, surgery, injury, but also from emotional stress as well. Massage can be a wonderful bonding experience for people who have adopted pets from a foster situation or from if they've been in the APL or if they've come from an abuse situation. Massage is a wonderful way to reconnect with that pet and let them know that there is a bonding, a strong bond that can be made between the caregiver and the pet.
You know, I like that. I had not thought about massage from the emotional standpoint, and particularly animals who came from maybe an abusive situation or foster. And I'm thinking even animals maybe who didn't really get a lot of socialization.
Right. Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, their experience, if they haven't been socialized well, either with other animals or with people themselves, they really have a different view about the relationship between themselves and their human caregivers or their human families. And the power of touch and the power of massage is just can be just so relaxing to the pet. And again, reinforces to them that this new situation, this new loving home that they're in, that they are now being brought in as part of this pack, as part of this loving home that they're in, can really reinforce those messages for them and to help them release some of the old behaviors or some of the old feelings that they've had, again, coming from abuse type situations or if they have not been socialized appropriately with other pets or other people.
Yeah. Now, do you find, are there different massages that you do for the emotional side versus the physical side, or is it pretty much the same thing with just a different intent?
It's pretty much the same thing. It's massage with animals, and there's very easy things that people can do at home with their own pets.
Wonderful. Let's talk about those.
A lot of people say, oh, I pet my pet all the time. I pet them every night. But Jackie, as you mentioned, it's the intent that we're putting behind that petting. Massage for animals is very slow. It's very light touch. A lot of times when people think about getting a massage for themselves, they really want to go in and have somebody do that.
Right, that deep tissue stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it might hurt now, but it's going to feel great in 8 hours when I get home. But for pets, it's much, much different. It's very soft. It's almost as if you were putting lotion on a baby, and you're putting lotion on a baby's back. You don't want to apply too much pressure to that little baby back. It's very similar to the pets. We want to build trust with them. We want to let them know that it's okay for them to take that deep breath, let out that big sigh, and lay on their back or lay on their side, and they know that they are in a very safe, comforting place where nothing but love is going to be given to them.
Yeah, I love that you said, like, putting lotion on a baby, because I was going to ask you, when you say a light touch, how light is that? Because I think of that, I mean, have either of you done the Tellington touch techniques, the T-touch?
I learned a little bit about it, but I haven't practiced it.
Yeah, and that's sort of the same thing with that light touch with those circles and stuff. And also, you just mentioned a deep breath, big sigh, and lay on your side. Those are signs that your dog is relaxing and sort of taking it the way it's coming and
yes,
benefiting from it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And really, the point of massage, whether you're doing it to help them with emotions or to help them with a physical ailment, what we're trying to do for the pet is get them into a mental state, again, relaxing, that deep sigh, so they're laying on their side, so that they can get into a point where they are relaxing and that their bodies can kick in and do what they're meant to do, which is self-heal. And a lot of times when we go to the doctor, if we're recovering from surgery or we're recovering from illness, the doctor says, go home, take a nap, get in a quiet spot. Can someone else take care of the kids? Again, it's trying to get you mentally in a place where you can allow your body to self-heal, that's exactly what we're trying to do for the pets when we get them, when we're doing massage on them and petting them with intent and that very light touch for them. Again, it's just trying to get them into a place where they can completely release all of their anxieties, get into a mental place where they can relax, and again, their bodies can kick in and do what it's really meant to do, which is self-heal them, again, from either from an emotional standpoint or from a physical standpoint.
Okay, so I like that. So now, if we're doing this on our animals at home, mm-hmm. are we talking about long strokes or little short strokes or circles? Is there any technique?
Yeah, I would start with very long strokes. So I would start at the top of their head, depending how big your dog is. Jackie, I know you've got a big group with you.
Yeah.
So start at the top of their head and count three Mississippis to bring it your hand all the way down to where their tail is. And you can do a hand-over-hand technique. And that's how slow it would be, is one Mississippi all the way to a three Mississippi. And then what you can do is come down each one of their legs. So you can start at the shoulder, come down on the outside of their leg, and then come up on the inside of their leg all the way up to their armpit. That follows the natural flow of circulation for them. So it's actually promoting that natural flow of energy, that natural flow of circulation. So down the back and then down for each leg.
Okay, down.
Outside on the leg.
Down
and
on
then
the outside.
Up on the inside, up towards their armpit.
Okay, wonderful. I love that. I love that. Okay, so, because I have my oldest Golden, definitely, I think we're going to try a chiropractor, but she puts all the weight on her front legs.
Yep.
You know, all the weight on her front legs. And she's, and her one back leg, she's really, and I keep worrying about her because I tell her, you know, if you don't use that more, you know, she definitely has some atrophy there. And
yeah.
So I'm thinking that there's, hoping that the chiropractor can help her out a little bit. But I'm thinking too, what you're just talking about, this massage, you know, getting things to, you know, really go through her legs correctly might be
right.
a tremendous help.
Right. And Jackie, for your dog that is having, and many people are in this situation where they might have one leg or another that's not doing well, certainly spending a lot of time on the healthy legs is going to be very beneficial because those are the legs that are taking on a majority of the extra work. But then when she's laying down, if she's laying down and she's presenting to you the leg that is hurt,
mm-hmm.
what you can do while she's resting is you can actually move that leg around in a very gentle form, almost to mimic if she was walking.
Okay.
And you move it around, and you can take her ankle and just slightly move her ankle back and forth, slightly move her knee in and out, very, very slightly. That way she's able to do the motions, but there's no weight applied to the leg, but she's still able to move them around. That will increase the circulation in the leg and, again, help the body move those toxins out and help her feel a little bit better with the discomfort that she's feeling.
Oh, thank you. That makes so much sense to me because I always say that to her is like, or the other thing that I just did, I guess instinctively, I just take my fingers and I just sort of lightly tap her and I go down the leg and up the legs, just sort of thinking like I'm just sort of tapping your muscle to get some sort of reaction.
Yeah, that is, you know, Jackie, you have great instincts when it comes to these things. That is wonderful. As well as, if she will allow it, playing with her paws. So if you are able to get in between her webbing on her feet
mm-hmm.
and really just put the webbing in between your index finger and your thumb and just massage that webbing. That is a wonderful way to promote the circulation coming all the way down to her bitty, bitty toes and then having the circulation go back. And who doesn't love a good foot massage?
Yeah. I wonder how they'll feel about playing with their webbing, but that would be interesting. I think that would definitely be interesting. So, well, that's wonderful. I'm definitely going to try those things because I just know that there's things, you know, I mean, she's doing so great. She's 12. She's a golden. And, you know, I just want her to be comfortable. And I can just tell, you know, she's even using it less. And I said, you know, you're going to get to the point. You know, you're not going to be able to get up because it's her back legs. You know, there's only so much pulling yourself up with those front legs.
Right. So, right.
Anyway, believe it or not, we are running very short on time. So we're definitely going to have you guys come back because there's so much we didn't cover. But would you please tell people how to find you on the internet?
Absolutely. Our website is www.petnutritionandwellness.com. And you can also find us on Facebook. If you are Facebook users out there, we like to post helpful tips every day. We are on facebook.com/beyondthebagpetnutrition.
Perfect. And a phone number in case somebody just wants to do it the old-fashioned way?
I love the old-fashioned way. Certainly, they can give us a call at area code 216-536-9426, or they can email us at info@petnutritionandwellness.com.
Wonderful. So many ways to get in touch with you guys. And I know, having looked at your website, you have a ton of information there. So I encourage everybody to take a look at the www.petnutritionandwellness.com and take advantage of all this great information that Sheila and Debbie have compiled for us. It saves us a lot of time having to search for that kind of information and put it together ourselves. So wonderful. So thank you, gals. This was just been one of my favorite radio shows because so much good information for everybody.
Thank you, Jackie. We really appreciated being here this morning. Thank you, Jackie.
Okay. Great. All right. Thanks so much. We'll see you soon.
This portion of Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunic Advisory Services.
Okay, everybody, that was just delightful. I had learned so much this morning. I hope you did too. Good tips for taking care of our dogs and kitties and all kinds of great information about food. So next week, my guest will be Denise Kmetz. And Denise is a certified Reiki master as well as an intuitive reader. I also met her in my class out there in Cleveland. And she's been doing energy work for more than 20 years. The gift of sight and healing has always been prevalent in her family for many generations. So her education and experiences include in-depth study of various religions, metaphysics, yoga, meditation, holistic health and wellness, stress management, studies in advanced spirit communication and mediumship. So she's got a wealth of information to draw from, and we're going to so enjoy talking to her about how she pinpoints areas of energy flow to help restore it and leaving clients with a feeling of wellness and inner peace. So, you know, there's so much Denise is going to be able to share with us next week, and she is just delightful. I found out she also, at one point in her life, was one of these singing telegram people, so she's quite the performer. So we certainly will enjoy having her on the show next week. So also, I just remind everybody, if you're interested ever in talking to your loved ones in spirit, and touching base with the other side, you can call my office at 717-968-5289. I have offices in Hanover and York. And I'm also available for group readings that are a lot of fun. So that's always something to do. It's always fun. And I love the group events because you're gathered around with friends and family. And we just never know who's going to pop into those and what kind of messages they're going to bring. And the other thing about them is spirit usually comes in with messages for more than one person. Somehow they have a way of doing that. They could be talking to one person, but exactly what they're saying is what somebody else in the group needed to hear as well. So always fun, and you can schedule those in your home. So that's something to think about, and it's a fun event. So everybody, we'll see you next week on Heart to Heart, same time next Tuesday. See you then.
Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services and is heard every Tuesday at the same time at 9 o'clock. Stay tuned now for the news coming up. First ABC News on the top of the hour. Then we'll take a look at Real Country Radar weather. And then it's time for Better Living. All right here on Real Country 1280 WHVR.
Well, we just left the courthouse this morning, and the judge said we could go our separate ways.
And everything we own must be divided, just like the separation papers say.
You can keep the curtains and the tables and the chairs and all those dirty dishes in the sink.
Well, you can take the golf clubs and the television set and that lawnmower that's always on the blink.
You can keep all the records and the hi-fi set.
You can take that phony fireplace and the logs.
You can keep the car.
Well, you can keep the boat.
And I'll take the dog.
No, I'll take the dog.
Oh, no, I'm gonna take the dog.
Well, who's gonna bring me my paper?
Who's gonna keep me company?
You'll just have to give him up.
Now, I ain't a parting with that pup.
The dog belongs to me.
Now hold on, Ray. You ain't gonna take this dog away from me. I'm the one that feeds him every day and who always takes care of him when he's sick.
Now wait just a minute, Jeannie. I guess you forget who it was that always took him to the vet and paid for all them shots at $7 a lick.
You can just forget about him.
I ain't leaving here without him.
Then you'll just have to stay.
I guess that's the only way.
Okay. I'll give back the curtains and the tables and the chairs, and I'll wash the dirty dishes in the sink.
And I won't take the golf clubs or the television set, and I'll fix that mower that's always on the blink.
We'll both listen to the records on the hi-fi set by the fireplace with its gas-burning log.
We'll go riding in our car.
And we'll go sailing in our boat.
And we'll both take the dog. Yes, we'll both take the dog.
Come on, Pushy.
Here, baby. Oh, come to mama.
Here you go, Jeannie. You want me down?
Yes, darling. Let me go. Just
go ahead and take it now.
Okay. Oh.
Oh, he sure is sweet, isn't he?
Yes.
From the Country Music Hall of Fame to the Grand Old Opry stage, we play country's legendary songs. Real Country, WHVR, Hanover.